To look at understanding the gospel, hold someone's hand and say these words after me. Our Father,
we receive
your word
in meekness and with clarity.
As we hear your word, we walk in the light of it. There's no error in our mind or in this atmosphere. We receive as we ought to receive, as babes. Today, tomorrow, next month, as this month, next year, this year, and forever. Amen. There we go. We are looking at understanding this gospel series 5. We're rushing.
Wow, we're series 5.
I discovered when I went back, I discovered it was a series. We've not started getting into what we're looking at in this series.
We'll have to set the record straight. We'll continue Saturday morning.
That would cover up some things. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's start as all to start. Matthew 1:1. In the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Amen. Son of David, the son of Abraham. So we said one of the themes
of Genesis is the book of sonship.
Hallelujah. So we said he opens up Matthew, just like every other writer of the synoptic
and every writer of the New Testament book, opens up for you to see where they are writing from.
They were not writing outside.
They had the Bible.
Hallelujah.
They had the Bible. So they wrote it for you to see that they were writing from the 39 books.
What we call the Old Testament books. They were writing from them. And Matthew opens up with that disclaimer. He calls it the book of the generations. When he said the book of the generations, that is the Greek word Genesis, where you have the word Genesis from. Amen. So that book, Genesis, is a Greek word. Hallelujah. We'll get to deal with that later. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So Genesis, so he went ahead to Genesis 5 and said Abraham begat and his seed begat in generations. Hallelujah. So he opens up that way for you to see how they wrote and that you don't get detached from where they were writing from. Hallelujah. You don't get detached.
When a smaller book is summarizing a bigger book, right? A smaller book, he's summarizing a bigger book. Let's say this is a summary of a big book.
He's not telling you that you shouldn't read the bigger book, right?
Rather, it's a summary for you to go back and read. Glory to God. For those of us who wrote literature in English and we don't read the books, we read those summaries of the literature in English.
We saw that at the end of your summary, you see the theme, the plot, everything. You didn't still get an A. Why? Because you didn't get the book. Amen? We didn't get an A, including myself. But how this book is so bulky, let me just put it once and let me go and read the review. I won't get to the book. Glory to God. Most of my literature books, I had to read them after I was done with work.
Let me move it. And then so I was not seeing myself before. I said, why didn't I read? I read it and my book come out wonderful. But there was no time. When I read it, I was just too being lazy.
But now, I had to reread a book we read then, Susie Bansi's Day. I'm like, this book is interesting now. Very interesting. How come I missed it? I read it again and again. Amen. We read Tears Fall Apart. I love the movie, but I never liked the book. Amen. I love the movie.
But when I was done with school, I had to reread it again. I said, wow. The movie now made sense.
Yeah. Because the movie is just two characters that I know very well. Amen. Okonkwo and Ikemefuna. But reading the book again, I was like, oh my God.
I read Joys of Motherhood.
I never read it in school.
I can give you all the things, the plot, the whatever. But I didn't do it. Amen. You guys are doing geography, they are looking at me. But I read it. Amen. Okay, let me use a different. You are using C4. I hear the main book. I want to get it. How? The key point has opened you to the main thing. Amen. Amen. We convert that key point to back pocket.
Glory to God. So they wrote in such a manner that you don't get detached from where they are writing from. So they will employ things, as we will see shortly.
What they will employ? They will employ a style of writing that will always take you back
to see where they were writing from. So we said the New Testament book will point us back to the Old Testament book,
and the Old Testament will point us forward to the New Testament book. Right?
We see that. Hallelujah. In Matthew 28, he said this. He picked the words of Jesus verbatim, or he quotes Jesus' word, Matthew 28 from verse 18. He says that Jesus came and spoke to them and said, all authority, all power, that word authority, exousia, is given me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go in therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So he picked the words of Jesus and he says, make disciples. And when he said the word make disciples, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, he said, go into all the world. That has a Genesis instructionals. Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Amen. Your mind goes to Genesis 1:26. So did you see at every time it was written in such a way that you don't get detached. Go make disciples. Go preach the gospel. You find that. So you are not detached. So I say go make disciples of every nation.
Your mind should take you back to the garden. The garden of Eden. Genesis 1:26. Reproduce. Right here, reproduce. Replenish the earth, and you are thinking it's to give birth to a football team like my 27 years back. Then it will be just. Hallelujah.
When it says reproduce, it didn't say
fill the earth, it says replenish the earth. That's what malay, hallelujah, malay, to refill, just like you're feeling something. So it's saying that people in the earth, so that actually is a disclaimer for those people who think Moses was writing creation story. There's only Adam and Eve in the world, no? He said to use the word refill, to show that there was an existence in the earth. Refill the earth. So he wasn't writing creation stuff.
Amen.
But he used a major part of the Jewish history to write about God.
Amen. So Genesis 1 is both history and it's theology. Hope you're following me. Amen. So he used the known history to write theology. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. So, very vital, so we don't lose our focus,
is the fact that you always see that pointing back again to the 39 books. Then he said, teach them to that whatsoever I have commanded, and know I am. He
used that word I am everywhere to point you to his divinity. Amen. Something we'll see shortly. To point you again to his divinity. Showing you that he is also divine,
We're going to see that. He used that word ego in mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Point you to his divinity. That he is also divine. Glory to God. In Mark 1, from verse 1 to 3, it says the beginning. Mark employed the use of that word Alkeoman. So he found the word Alke. Say the beginning, and it points you to Genesis. Say the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says that it is written. Now he brings in that style for you to see how to read what he's writing. So he goes back to, he's talking about John, and he goes back to Malachi. It has written in the prophet. He goes back to the scriptures. Remember, I told you another name the scripture is called the prophet. That is called the prophet. So he goes back to the prophet, specifically Malachi, and then he reads it. I say, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight.
Did you see that? Amen. So he goes back again to write. Now, what he's writing here, he's about to write about the incarnation of Jesus. Listen, this is the incarnation, the story of Jesus, and yet he's pointing you to the fact that Jesus is divine. So when you read, listen to this, when he reads Malachi and reads it into Isaiah, He wants you to see something. And then I was writing about the Lord. Watch it. And I was writing about the Lord.
And he says, this one will prepare a way. This guy. So he points your attention again to the divinity of Jesus, that this is the Lord. Look at what he says there in verse 2. And he's reading a known scripture in Isaiah chapter 40. He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Let's get to Isaiah 40 from verse 1 into 3. Isaiah 40, 1 into 3. Let's see this. He said, get to Isaiah 40. He said, comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, says the Lord. He says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem.
You know, we sang this, we used to sing this song. Comfort me.
Comfort my people. So speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For listen, for she had received the Lord's hand double for herself, for her sins. I mean, he says she had received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Do you see that? Amen. He's talking about the remission of sins. He says, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make it straight in the desert a highway for our God. Say, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Did you see that?
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory to God. So he's writing about the Lord. So Isaiah finds John. Mark finds John, or the writer of the synoptic gospel finds John as the fulfillment of that promise. Did you see that?
He finds John.
Glory to God. He finds John as the fulfillment of that promise. And they are saying Jesus is the Lord. That the reason for that is to point you to the fact that he is Lord. Do you see that? He is deity.
Amen. So the one that prepared that the voice of one that fights in the wilderness to make way for him will be John. Hope you see that. Do you see that? Hallelujah. And that one will be his spokesperson. He's called his propheticon, his Nabah, or his Nabi.
Who are following me? So that would be John. Who are following that? That would be John. So they found John in scriptures. So we said this shows you that the event of the incarnation
will find its fulfillment,
or will be fulfillment of the 39 books. Sorry to say. Or I meant to say sorry. Glory to God. So when you get to Mark 16, from verse 50, you find the same instruction again. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. So you find he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That is forgiveness of sins.
Shall be saved. Instructions in scriptures. All the world. Now, our last one is not about Matthew, and then you will find that in Genesis chapter 3, in the garden. So when you find the distribution of the garden, you will find that the waters flowed out of the garden into the nation. Do you see that?
Amen.
Amen. So when you see rivers that flow, rivers is used for nations. In their world, rivers is used for nations. So when you hear those rivers that flow out, waters that flow out of the garden into the rivers. This is not rivers that flow out of the garden. Waters that flow out of the garden into the river, it will be what? Listen, it will be God starting all the nations of the earth. Because rivers is used for nations. Hallelujah. What are you following? It's used for nations. So God starting all the earth, that will be light in darkness.
Amen.
The nations will be darkness. But
from God's garden,
they will find rivers. Hallelujah.
Okay, following that.
From God's garden you'll find waters that will flow into the nation.
So what do you have as the nation?
Genesis 1:2. It says the earth will start from above and darkness was upon the face of the deep.
So darkness is like, right? And darkness upon the surface of the waters, right? So the waters is dark water.
Okay, following me. You have dark waters in Genesis 1-2.
Genesis 1-2, what will you have? Dark waters.
You see that? That will be the nations. Dark waters, the hearts of men. Dark waters. So what is it?
What is the water that is from the garden?
That will be light. So it is flowing into dark waters. You see that? Dark rivers. So that will be light in darkness. Okay, follow you. That will be light in darkness. It will flow from God's garden into the dark waters of men's hearts. Hallelujah.
So when you write that down, or when Jesus says,
preach the gospel to every creature, every creature there is the whole world. Every creature there is the dark waters. Hallelujah. So the believer has a responsibility in the whole world. Okay, follow you. In the whole world. Now when you hear whole world there, the whole or in all the nations, I love what the dear man of God says, Pastor Gibson, that to there. He says, into every man's world. So when you hear the whole world, doesn't mean you start going around the country. The whole world will mean people that are within the world. That is the world. You're going into every man's world. Hallelujah. Every man's world.
Keke driver's world.
Prostitute world. Hallelujah. What are you doing? You are shining God's light in the dark waters. Hallelujah. So the theme, one of the themes you have in Genesis 1 will be the theme of dark waters. And what will you have? What will happen to dark waters? You'll find God's light in dark waters. Hallelujah.
Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. So that will be very vital for us to see. So in verses 20, he says, and they went forth and preached everywhere.
Did you see that? With the Lord walking with them. So that means in the preaching of the gospel, you will find God working with them. That would be an Exodus, like I said, it would be
an Exodus language, echoes of the Exodus. God working with them. Amen. God working with them. So shows you that he is divinity. I am God working with them. He will be with them. How are you following that? So we'll skip. Okay, let's look at Luke. Or else we skip Luke and John for now, but let's see Luke 1. Luke 1. How are you following me? Time is not on our side tonight. So if our brother has taken in hand to set forth in order declaration of those things which are surely believed amongst us. He said, even as they deliver them to us. You know, I keep wondering why people think this verses 1. I always thought like that years back, but look at it again, it's not true. That it was an argument. That these people have taken up, they are rewriting now, let me write my own. No. Luke is saying, people are writing their own thing. So he is coming to write his own. No. Amen. Amen. So, Luke 1. From verses 2, he said, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word. So, he says, he gives that disclaimer that he is not part of
the eyewitness. Amen. But what is right is he got it from the eyewitness. He said, and he called them what? Ministers. Isn't that? So they were ministers of the scripture. Amen. Amen. He didn't get it from any other person,
but from those who are eyewitness and are ministers. Did you get that? Did you get that? Okay. You look at Luke 24, you find out that he writes for you to see Jesus is reading from the 39 book, Luke 24, 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. That's for you to see the base of where they were from was the 39 book. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also, do you find the same instruction you found in Matthew, Mark, in Luke 24, verse 47, says that, and that repentance and remission of sin be preached. So that means repentance and remission of sin is what we receive in the preaching of the gospel.
So that takes you again to the 39 books. You know,
you always find that going back and coming back again into the 39 books and out of the 39 books into the gospel, the four gospels and the epistles. Very vital. Hallelujah. Now, something you must see is the fact that they wrote for you to see
that Jesus is both God and man. They wrote this piece of clay. That Jesus is both God and man. It was very clear.
Amen. In fact, Jesus made that assertion. Glory to God. Amen. In John 10, when Jesus was on talking to them, he said, And they picked up stones. And he asked them, "But why did you pick up stones to stone?" He says, "For the good works you do, say we do not stone you. But thou, being a man," hallelujah. Amen. Look at verses John 10, verses 31. He says, "Then the Jews took up stones." Look at what he said, "I made them take up stones." He says in verses 26, he says, "But ye that believe not, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they followed me." So when Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," in John 10, when he reads it and he says, "I'm the good shepherd," no, your mind goes to Mark, I mean, your mind goes to Psalm 27. The Lord is my shepherd. So when Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd," right? When you call yourself the shepherd, your mind will have to go back again to where? Who did the Psalm say is the shepherd? Says the Lord is the shepherd. Did you see that? The Lord is the shepherd. He said, "I'm that good shepherd." Did you see that? Your mind goes to go. This is the Shabbat Yahweh. This is the Yahweh. Because Moses speaking, I mean, Moses, David speaking on his throne, says the Lord is my shepherd. Did you see that? He's supposed to be the shepherd of Israel. He says, "No, I'm not the shepherd. That the Lord is my shepherd." Did you see that? So he recognizes himself as God's sheep. And then he as the king is what? He as the king is a new protector, right? Of what God is doing in the earth. So he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Did you say he that sat in his throne and said, "The Lord said, oh my Lord, sit at my right hand." So then the throne is just a symbol. What, who the Lord is. He's not the Lord. Amen. Very vital. So when he said, "My sheep," he's saying to them, good shepherd. The same people said, "My sheep," there. Before then he said, "He's no good shepherd." So their mind goes again to where? The Lord is the shepherd. Hallelujah. So what I need you, I'm giving you a background now to John 10. So to this conversation. So they already know this guy is saying he's God. He doesn't need to say, "I am God." He's already saying it. Amen? Well, he says he's the good shepherd. Who else is the good shepherd? Amen? Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So, verse 28. It says, "And I give them," now, it says, "My sheep hear my voice and know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life." You know, these are very powerful things in the 39 book. When you hear the word eternal life again, these are fuller. And a new Moses said to the same Zabayahu. This is what he said to him. And he said, "Show me thy face. Show me thy know. Show me thy face." Jesus, God represents, "Shall no man see my face and live." Right? Now, that word there, "Shall no man see my face and not come alive." Can I not come alive? They know that that is a major sin. Listen, that is a major sin in the National Book. And it's forgiven by the Lord himself. You see that? So when you hear the word eternal life, chayeh, it means not just life of the dead, it means a rule, a reign. That he said, "I will give them a reign. I will, or make them reign with my kingdom." You know, that is a very strong statement that can only be made by the Lord. Are you following me? They knew this. Hallelujah. He says, "And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man," now that word "any man" there is actually a wrong challenge. "Neither shall anything," that's the word used, "neither shall anything pluck them out of my hand." Out of my Father's hands. Can you see how Jesus uses his words? Amen. Out of my Father's hands. Worship. Amen. He calls himself the shepherd, but shall not nothing will be the word of my Father's name. And so the Jesus never calls himself the Father. Hallelujah. He never does. Because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are his cast. Amen. They function as one. That's one. in unity, unison. Hallelujah. Look, okay, he goes in verse 30 and says, I and my Father are one.
You, this will hit any Bible scholar that knows Moses too. You will hit him hard. You will mind your mind will go again to the card of Deuteronomy 6.
Yahweh is the Lord and God is one. You see that? You mean he said, I and my Father are one, and he says eternal life, and he said there will no one should come able to pluck them out of his hand. They know he's talking about divinity. They know he's talking about, this is talking about the Lord. He's talking about the God of Israel. Amen. Supernatural things. So immediately, look at what they did. They took up stones again to stone him. Did you see that?
Because a Bible scholar knows the import of what he has said.
Ah! You remember, we say, ah!
Why?
Show me wine, Nini. Are you whining us? You did that. So did not pick up stones. Look at what Jesus responded. He said, ah, many good works I've shown you from my Father. He said, for which of this work do you stone? They picked up stones. Look at what Jesus said. And look at what they said. Because they will give you fear here, and then they will stone you. It's their conscience.
So why do you want to stone you? And not to see.
The Jews responded. He said, saying for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Now look at the blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, we're going to see the import of that now. Say, for thou being a man, maketh thyself God.
Do you see that? They didn't say you make yourself the Father. Say you make yourself God. Because even the Jews know, the Pharisees, they know that God is God. God is not the Jews. The Jews know they don't have one specific God. They are not bad in this day because they don't understand. They don't want to want everything to align in your will. They are not bad in this. They know. Amen. Remember, they didn't say Father, they said God. But
there's
no God
from the community. Hallelujah. Amen. Unbelievers. Glory to God. He says, no, what? He says, thou being a man, makest thyself God. So they understand that. So Jesus now reads again the psalmist to them. Amen. Amen. He says, yeah, God. That's Psalm 62.
But I didn't go in there to speak. Let's not leave our focus. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is God. He said
it himself. But someone asked me some weeks back. He said, Jesus is God. I said, yeah. He said, but Jesus never admitted he's God.
I said, no. He
didn't.
No, he never admitted he's God. Jesus said, he's not the Father. I said, yeah, Jesus never said he's the Father, but he didn't say he's not God.
Ah.
So then what I mean? He said, ah. I didn't believe it. And we'll talk to you.
Glory to God.
You see,
it's there. Glory to God.
It's
clear. Very clear. Amen. Amen. So Jesus is God and man. Hallelujah. But take note of something I said to us on Sunday. I said, though, I mean, God and man, in the incarnation, though he is God, he is function as a man
100% in the kingdom. The miracle he did, he is as a man who has the ability of God. As a man who do. The signs and wonders. So the wonders and wonders are peculiar only shape. So he did it as a man.
Amen.
As a man. Yet he is man. What am I following that?
Hope you're following me. Amen. It's God. Let's get back to a few things we saw on Sunday. First Timothy, I showed it to those of us who are around in church on Sunday. So, but we'll take some steps further today. In First Timothy, this is the note I forgot. So I have it today. So you take it. In First Timothy 3. First Timothy 3 verse 16. He says, and without controversy, grace is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. So he said, for God was made manifest in the flesh. Manifest there is the word phanero.
Phanero, it implies to be fully unveiled. Meaning in the incarnation, God became, God became a man. How do I know? In the incarnation, God became unveiled or functional completely as a man. As a man.
As a man. Completely. In Philippians, I thought I added that to Hebrews. I keep forgetting. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to 8.
So, it's God. God became man. It's all flesh. To be a man. A man flawed for us.
Amen.
So, I said to us, never think that Jesus didn't live in the earth like a natural man. Jesus was just born after he came out from his mother's womb. Just did his life like this. As God. He didn't crawl. He didn't suck his feet. He stuck his finger. He did. Must have used nothing. And excuses. Ah, it can't be done.
He did.
Amen. Amen. He grew like every man. That long of blue. He grew like every man.
Amen.
Amen. That is why Paul would say
that God in his foolishness is wiser than man.
Amen. God, yes, God.
Glory to God. That's the import of that word, God, a man who died for me.
He became a man.
So Philippians 2:5. Let's be focused. He said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Now, I need you to follow me here, because we're going to do quite a study here. And this, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross.
Now I've found someone who said, no, that's contradictory.
So, we want to do a quiet study. Quite a study here. Now watch this. Now we're going to explore some words. Look at what they say. Say, who being in the form of God was made in the likeness of man, of a man. Isn't that who being in the form of God was made in the likeness of a man? Look at verse 6. He used the word form. Okay, who being? Now let's use the word being. Being is a word in the Hebrew. I mean the Greek rather. Eupako. Eupako.
H-U-P-A-R-C-H-O apostle.
Oh, you packaged. Now, it's from a compound one of yupo, which is used for to under.
Now, yupo under, also from another word, alkoma, for a beginning. Hallelujah. So, yupo
means to begin under. Amen. So, it's used for to tell you this is how we eat from the Genesis.
In the beginning.
So he says, who being, did you see that? Now he turns your attention back again to the beginning. The being in the form of God. Do you see that? So that means from the beginning, he is God. Amen. That is very easy. Jesus is God, is not a side by he's the basis of every doctrine in scripture. He's God. Amen. Amen. Now watch something. You find that word, I'll just read out some scriptures to us. Okay, let's look at a few scriptures. Luke 7:25. There are some things I need you to see. Luke 7:25. It says, but what went ye out for to see? It says, a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appeared and live delicately are in the king's court. You see that? Hallelujah. Look at verses, chapter 8 verse 41. It says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. You see that? He points to his position. Amen. Amen. So that word is used to describe someone's position or what someone is into, who the person really is, who was a. You see that? So to describe who really someone is. So it's used to describe. It's used for description. Amen. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 48. Luke 9:48. And said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child. Is it 48 now? Okay. 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 Luke 9:48. Just put that as a reference. Luke 11:13. It says, if ye being evil. Watch it. If ye being evil. That's the word being evil. So it used to describe a man's action, right? Evil, there is not really evil in the world today. Amen. But it's used to describe their action. But in contrast to God's law, did you see that? Amen. So he tells you one state, who someone is. You also find it in Luke 16:23, Luke 23:50, Acts 2:30, Acts 3:2, Philippians 3:20. Look at Philippians 3:20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay, now, go back to chapter 2 of Philippians, verses 8 quickly. Verses 6. It says, who be? So that tells you his state, right? 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 His state. So who? What is his state?
In the form of God. Did you see that? Amen. Who is Jesus? Now, what the word is form? That word form is the word in Greek. Mofo.
Not Yoruba Mofo. No, not that one. Mofo. Mofo. That is Yoruba explanation, but it's Mofo. Is this for a shape or a nature? in nature.
Who being in the nature of God? Did you see that? But so what is Jesus' nature? From the beginning. Remember, when you use that word being there, shows from the beginning, right? Right? So what is the nature? What is his nature? Because that word being there, that word being there is the word eupake, and I said it has that root word of apomai, which points you to the Genesis. So what is Jesus' nature from the Genesis? He is God. Did you see that? Never be that. He's God.
Being in the form, mofo of God. Amen. Amen. So he repeats that in verse 7. He said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So he, in verse 7, we're going to see that shortly.
He now took on another form.
This is that another nature
in the incarnation.
Amen. Amen. But from the beginning,
what is his nature?
Hope you are here. I told us we're going to get into some very vital details, and they will actually see us through to CRC. I didn't even know that CRC. We aren't seeing you. We're going to do another CRC. Amen. So to lead us through
to CRC, we need to pick it up at some point. Some other point will come for the year. Maybe we put some things to order.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, Mufo. Now, watch verse 7. I mean verse, you'll be in the form of God. Now it said, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, thought it not robbery to be equal with God is just two words. Please permit me, Greek is not my mother tongue. Is the word sorry. I made a mistake there. Well, I eat another word I was about looking at. So he told not robbery. He told not robbery to be equal with God, right? Now that he told not robbery to be equal with God was not next. Explained in verse 7. Amen. That's what is explained next. That's the explanation of he thought it not able to be equal with God. He explained it as, but made himself of no reputation. Do you see that? Made himself of no, that's what made himself of no reputation is just two words. Here, tau kino. Please. It sounds like jatau, but it's not. Here, tau kino.
I rehearsed this pronunciation all through this word. I kept saying it. I know that if I come up, I'll forget it. And just like what I've done, forgot it.
So, permit me. Amen. Yatao kino. Just two words. Amen. I mean, keno. Yatao keno. Now, the word keno there, now, the word yatao is what you could have the word himself. The word keno implies to make empty. So we put those all together, it means he made himself empty to make of none effect.
Is that? So it shows what he has done now.
So meaning in
the incarnation, he didn't throw away his being deity. He spoke about it. But he didn't bring it to effect. That's what he's saying. You know what I mean by that? He did this, but he didn't replace. Amen. 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 So he's working, and I stop to say, he's working on water. This is not the water. That's why God, that's why I want the water. No, he walked on water as a man, working with this. Amen. Now another miracle people didn't see. You know, people will tell you this is that he wants to water, the water is God. No, don't dismiss that. Because Peter walked on water. Amen. Peter came out of the boat. Jesus was a father. Peter came out of the boat to walk with Jesus. You know, when he began to discover the words, he began to speak, and Jesus stretched his hand and reached out to him. Meaning he walked close to Jesus. So Peter also walked on water. Amen. Amen.
The feeling of
5,000 people before the zone. No other person. Come on now. Moses healed a man, made bread come from heaven. What about it? Moses healed a man,
struck the rock and water came out. He spoke the rock and water began to come out. Man, Moses did more miracle than Jesus. Don't you?
What are the inside of this?
Why did I say that, God?
Take it out of the table, take it out of your head. I can't see it in your head in the mirror.
Please, take it out. And I take you back. That came out too sudden from my mouth. I take it back from the head.
You take it out from your mind too.
For Moses did miracles. Terrifying miracles.
Don't you know? Terrifying. They go to a place, the water was bitter. Moses
used his staff and splitted the Red Sea. He went this way and that way.
And we said he did it because the Jabba Yahweh was standing. And that Jabba Yahweh was taking him. And he was with Moses, the most big guy, saying he was the most big guy. Amen. Think about
it. So the miracle he did, he did it as a man. So, like Paul is saying now, he didn't allow his God nature to get into his belief. Satan was quoting scripture, was quoting David. Jesus was showing Satan from Deuteronomy. Why was he going back to Deuteronomy? Was giving him the what? Let me know who. The context of David.
That was not the context of David's life. Taking him back to the beginning. So, did you see that? So, Satan. And so, what would you now find? What would you now find in proper?
Wrong doctrine. Okay, put that in. Wrong doctrine would not be there.
Putting out of context, the father of Jesus is dead. The father of Satan was out of context. So Jesus will find it back into context.
Amen. They turned the stone to bread.
You get it?
That is tempting. But he made his God nature in the incarnation. He didn't make it didn't function as God. You see that? Amen. He functioned rather as a man. Amen. I'm being careful here. Things like this are slippery terrain that you have to be careful. Very slippery. Amen. Let's see some other things. But he said he took upon him. What that? Philippians 2. He says, but took upon him the form of his son. Now, the word took upon him is the word lambano. So, to take up something, to receive. So, he received. He took it up for use. This is that. So, the form of a man, meaning he took up flesh. Now, God opened it and the word became flesh. The word took on flesh. This is that. I hope you are seeing that. And tabernacle amongst us. So, that word genomai, Paul also employs it here. He says, and being made in the likeness, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What's that? And was made. That word made there is the word genomai. To become. To take upon. Is that? Now, another word there is the word likeness of men. Likeness. Is the word homoluman. Likeness. Homoluman. A resemblance. Amen. Likeness of man. So he took up the resemblance of man. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man. So use that word fashion there. Schema. Schema. A figure. Is this an external condition?
Amen. So was found in the fashion, resemblance. Amen. In the shape of a man.
You see that? This is the incarnation is explaining. But yet he's God. Hope you're understanding that. Amen. Amen. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the throne. That was obedience. Hallelujah. He was on the throne.
Let me show you. Where they have been? King of the Jews. King of the whole race, the king of the Jews. Not they were mocking. They have just been like some people who are too very, so some people are very cunning.
Want to prove to everybody that God has called them. Want to prove to everybody. See, there are people that will naturally don't like you. Amen. Don't be king. We live in a world where people are very impressionable.
Also impressed with what? No! And I am as a pastor. There are people that don't like me. Just let, I have not, they've not spoken to them, just seen my picture. They don't like the fact that I teach them about. They don't know that.
Amen. You know what an impression is, you say, hey, the king, hey, the king. Is this not your name? Then you will not descend like Avatar. Your king.
But you're not impressionable. You don't like you. That is death, but obedience.
Hallelujah. You just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing for the Lord. Hallelujah. Some people go to some place and they cannot pray because I don't want people to think I'm holy, holy. Sure, alright. Are you not holy, holy? Don't do holy, 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 holy. Call them sinner, sinner, kana, kana.
Yes, now, the holy, holy, kana, kana. Ah. Amen. Amen.
Kana like this. I'm holy as God. You are kana as devil. Don't be impressionable. Amen. As go for evangelism. Don't be impressionable. You're going as God sent man. Amen. You go. See, you're not going to place that someone who is going to be born again.
There's a difference between being a sales marketer in your office. There's a many times that people don't know how to switch the role. They think the way you go and lead people to beg them for devil is how you beg them to be born again. We don't beg. We persuade them with God's word. We're going to get there in this teaching. Amen. Amen is a temporal battle. You're not allowing
your job role in the natural conflict with God's assignment in your
life. Amen. You're
not going to be impressionable. It's not like that though. God wants you to come believe you. You know? So that in our church, you need someone to be pastor. I can't go to your body.
It's not for you that do it at all. After that, my Lord, I'll tell you who I be. Rapper nation.
The best rapper gets born with
the Holy Ghost. And the guy gets born with it. Now say after me. Chasha. To your first winner flag, or first flag, your flag on the winner is the Holy Ghost. You see, because they are doing, what is it? American Got Talent, no, what is it? Nigerian Idol, you know, a new creation. Come on. You must know to switch out on your office role. When you go, I mean,
when you go out, I will persuade people to collect you,
to collect, to give up the money. See, they switch in 10 days now. I need to switch for 10 days. That is marketing. Amen? But this is the gospel. Amen? You got light and you are going to darkness. Don't be impressionable. Sometimes they feel that people are smoking. Say, some people, you know, they're going to hell. You know, you have a big bag, you know, you can't get like this. You know, hold tab, man, dog.
Let me show you some scores. So just,
you are, who are you impressing? Just alright. Let me show you that. Look at it. You know, let me show you the strong wall. Who are you impressing? Who are you impressing?
See, it's a territorial battle.
You have light going into darkness, and you have a responsibility in darkness to make light shine.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the light will shine.
Because you don't want people to be laughing at you. People don't want the people in your street to know you're a child of God. We should lie you down and flood you. Don't want people in your street to know that you have a Bible. So you only put your Bible. This is why you have a bag. It's not because you are like, I can't write it myself. Because you don't want people to see you with a Bible. Okay, hold your Bible. Hold it there.
God has a reason for making me say this. Amen. Amen.
Let's get back to our teaching. So, Paul here described Jesus becoming a man in the incarnation. And in doing that, he shows he was man. Proper man. Though he is God. But he didn't function as such in the incarnation. So, in the incarnation, even though Jesus is God, watch this, even though Jesus is God, he pulls that away and became completely a man in appearance and function. Hallelujah. In appearance and function. So,
John 1 from verses 1. In the beginning, this is when John is coming. In the beginning was the Word. Takes you again to Genesis.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. So, like we said, he picks his words from
the original Hebrew Dabar. So we said what in the New Testament book has is only in the Hebrew word. So when he tells you that word logos there, it's from that Hebrew word Dabar. Right? The Hebrew word Dabar.
And I will finish by 9 o'clock, we'll complete this thing. Amen. Amen. So, it says, so we saw that he has the root word in the word Daba, right? And Daba is used for a reason, for an action, for words, and also used for the visible reality of God in the Old Testament.
The visible reality of God. Visible reality of God.
Visible reality of God. We've been looking at all that. Hallelujah. So we said, I want to pause to say this. So we said, Christology.
I want to put it like this. Christology is not just, now watch, listen to what I say and what I didn't say. Christology is not just the conclusion of the Pathomimos. I'm not saying it's not the conclusion. It's not just the conclusion of the Pathomimos.
Christology
is also a reality within the Pathomimos. Properly. Amen? Amen? Christology
is not just the conclusion. I know I said
Christology will lead to Christology. Very vital, very true. I have not changed that. It's still there. Christology can be a theology, but lead to Christology, right?
But Christology is not just the conclusion of the Pathomimos books, right?
Or the conclusion of theology. Christology is actually, is also rather, is also a study within the Pathomimos.
Hallelujah. The study within that nine books. He is a reality within the 39 books. The Dabba Yahweh is a reality within the 39 books.
So it's not just a conclusion, it's also a reality within
them.
So theology
will also, okay, let me not get into that talk. Anyway. Amen. So it's a reality and also a conclusion when we read together. Amen. So we got to ask ourselves the question, why do we go back to Greek and Hebrew?
You remember this question? Huh? Remember this question? Why do we go back to Greek and Hebrew? A lot of people ask us that question. And I told you that the English is in itself a translation,
is an interpretation. English version is an interpretation. Bible was written in Greek and in Hebrew. New Testament in Greek written. Old Testament in Hebrew written. What did they speak in Old Testament?
They spoke Hebrew. And towards the latter end of that, the Greek language began to come in. But what they wrote in was purely Hebrew.
Amen.
Purely Hebrew. Within the
New Testament books, they wrote in Greek. What did they speak? They spoke both Greek, Hebrew, Latin, and Aramaic. But they wrote in Greek. Hope you're following that. Amen. So they were not written in English. Therefore, the words are not English as you think.
You read that outside?
The words you find in scriptures are not English as you think. I'm going to strain my eyes now. Hallelujah. So secondly, we say the writers have their order. So one, the words are not English as you speak, as you think rather. The English is an interpretation. Two, the writers have their own audience they wrote to, and you were not part of that audience. I called us the what? Which audience do I say we are? We are what?
We are which audience?
So because you are the spirit audience, the Spirit of God will not bypass their brain. That's what we said. Right? The Spirit of God in His inspiration will not bypass their mind. In His inspiration. So I promise to get to us on inspiration, but we'll see that on Saturday. Amen. Amen. So listen. Proper interpretation of what they wrote will be worshipped. So because the Spirit will not bypass their mind, you allow them to write in their language, you write, allow them to write in their intelligence, in their science, that, and their words will carry their social, will carry their culture, the culture, the verbiage of their day. Right? Will carry their words, their culture, and the light. Right? Right? So, the aim of why they wrote is for what? Worship. Right? So, a proper interpretation of what they wrote will be worship also. Since that was the essence why they wrote. Do you see that? This is why proper interpretation is worship. Huh? Is worship. Because that's why they wrote worship of God. Okay. Three. Since we established that the writers of the Old Testament book have their own audience, right? We also said other audience. Other writers or prophets after them. The prophet that came afterwards wearing their audience also. Did we say that? So,
when you're writing about, for example, Isaiah wasn't Moses' audience. Isn't that? David wasn't Moses' audience. That's, I'm giving you Samuel. Moses had his audience. Isaiah had his audience. But yet, Isaiah would be interpreting Moses. Hope you have seen that. Hope you have seen that. Yet, Isaiah would be interpreting Moses. To his own audience.
Hope you are following that. Hope you are following that. Or put, you'll be writing for Moses. The same thing too, same also with the writers of the New Testament books. They were not the audience of the Old Testament books writers. But all that was available to them as scriptures was the Old Testament books. That was all available for them to know God. The Old Testament book. And very significantly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? But they couldn't even recognize the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the resurrection of works of God if they don't have the 39 books. Did you see that?
Amen.
So the 39 books, which is what we call the Old Testament books, is actually what they had to know God. Therefore, the writers of the New Testament books would employ techniques in writing. They would employ techniques in writing, or put, they would employ techniques as they study. Let's go through those techniques. One of those techniques is they will situate themselves and their audience in the seat of the first audience. They will situate themselves and their audience in the seat of the first audience and hear what they heard in their world. Two, they will employ the techniques of shorthand in talking to their audience. They will employ the shorthand technique.
They will employ the shorthand technique. What is the shorthand technique? When event analysis within the Old Testament books will be all summarized into a word or a sentence. Now when you see that word and that or that sentence, you will go back to the Old Testament book to reread those narratives. This is that, and those narratives, those concepts, you have to go back and reread them.
We'll take a look at some of those things on Sunday. Amen. On Saturday, sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have to go back and reread from their word. What can we read? Those things again from their word. And take note as we get into our study on Saturday. You're not still there?
I'm trying to create a very safe introduction. I plan using two words that are part of the tree. Now we can get into what we look at.
So we just have to go through to get into some very vital details as we get into our study proper. But something you have to see is the fact that a word will not mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote it. This will come big time at the
shop. Amen. The word will never mean today what it never meant when the writer wrote it. And our role as interpreters, just like you are talking to the New Testament, is to find out what was the intention of the writer when he wrote. What was their intention?
What was their intention when they were writing? When they wrote about the wars? Why did they write wars and scriptures? Amen. Why? Why would they use the word Christos, Christ, the Messiah? Why? Why would they call him Christos?
We have
to go back again and explore. Amen. Explore it, see what it means, and see why he's called the Christos. And Jesus will say to them, will say to Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed it to you. See, but my Father which is in heaven. He said that to Peter, telling Peter that he is saying he is the Christ is revelation of scriptures.
Amen. That's revelation of scriptures. The scriptures is read together,
you will find the Christos. Though the Christos was not said, this is Christos. You see that? You will find any place called Christos. But you will find it as an eventual conclusion of scriptures.
And then, an event you will find all truth, Old Testament.
Hallelujah. And then we begin to get into some very vital details as regards understanding the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So the gospel we have is what we use to walk. Amen. Amen.